comma in that title or not?
Is it
Fend
the comma boobs or
Fend
the comma boobs?
Fend the comma boobs.
Why are there 20 Fend the boobs in the room?
Yeah. Well, I suppose either way works, really. We are specifically talking about Fend and boobs. It works on many levels. And may I say how appropriate it is that we have boob-loving babies in the room. Okay. We'll start. Fandom, comma, boobs, and the internet. I'm actually going to read this out. That's all right. Just a little bit more light. Just a little bit more light would be great because I'm reading.
A spotlight.
I'm reading because I actually have proposed this as an academic paper. But I ended up with a full 1 hour slot. So I'll read out my paper and then we can have a big discussion about three of my favourite things.
Can I ask you
boobs and the internet?
Quick question before you start. What's the paper, what sort of area? Sociology or feminist literature or what?
We'll get there. Feminism. So, well, in fact, I'm actually at
PhD. It's in many social science areas, is all.
Yeah. Oh. Yes.
Interesting piece of tech.
use the mask from tape video.
Gaffer tape fixes everything.
Indeed. You only need two tools. If it moves and it shouldn't, use the tape. If it doesn't move and it should, use WD-40.
Ah, oh, but Roy, it's very hard to catch them.
Okay. We're all good to start? Okay, so I'm Sarah Zhu. I think I know most of you already, but I'm studying a PhD at Curtin University, studying cyberfeminism and cyberfeminist art, so that will be the area that I'm referring to. And I'd like to talk about feminine boobs and the internet. The story officially starts at Confusion, which is an American SFCon, which is not dissimilar to SwanCon in nature, from what I can tell, where a group of friends got together and decided that boobs were kind of cool, and that they would really like to touch them. But for me, the interesting part of the story started when one of that group, a guy who goes by the internet pseudonym The Ferret, blogged an account of his experience on his live journal. And there he is. And so from this particular journal post, it says, "This should be a better world," a friend of mine said. "A more honest one, where sex isn't shameful or degrading. I wish this was the kind of world where you could say, wow, I'd like to touch your breasts. And people would understand that it's not a way of reducing you to a set of nipples and ignoring the rest of you, but rather a way of saying that I may not yet know your mind, but your body is beautiful." And we were standing in the hallway of Confusion, about 9 of us, and we all nodded. Then another friend spoke up. "You can touch my boobs," she said to all of us in the hallway. "It's no big deal." And they did. And it was no big deal, and they all had a great time. And that's the end of the story. And so we could go back to the picture of Kelly's boobs, which was much nicer to look at in the Ferret's Live Journal. But no, wait, the story doesn't actually end there. More from the blog post. "We stood there afterwards, a little shocked. Then someone else spoke up in the same tone of voice. You can touch mine too. And my God, we all reached out like zombies trying to break through a door to get to those breasts. And it wasn't getting any worse. We weren't degenerating into an orgy, but rather exploring the amazement of how beautiful this body was and how wonderful it was to have access to them. Nobody was trying to pull off a bra or suck on a nipple, although some couples might. We'd been given access to a very special place that only lovers usually touched. And why would you be so crude as to try to push the boundaries of that? And every girl in that hallway was then asked the question, may I touch your breasts? They considered, and yes. And they said yes, and we all did. So anyway, there was much breast touching, and it was all consensual, which is quite an important part to mention. It was all consensual, and reportedly done with a detached attitude. And pretty soon, strangers came along through the hallway, and they were asked too. And they decided that they wouldn't be mind being part of the Boot Fest section, and it was all good.
But the story ended there.
No, but it wasn't.
But wait, there's more!
It goes for a while.
But there is more to the story. So, yes. This is a picture by a Picasso user who's named Kat, and she's put these photos up as with a Creative Commons license, so with an attribution license. So these are pictures of the actual event, and you can see, hang on, I'll tell you what's coming here. So once the friends decided they'd hit on something magical, and I believe the word magical was used in the post, they thought it would be a great idea to bring it out into a semi-public arena, because at the moment it was kind of, I imagine it to be more like a room party kind of situation. You know, they're in a hallway, they're all like, hey, Wes, are great, and like, haven't really been there. But they thought, this is great, we've really found something, so let's make it a bit more official at the next con we go to. So they hatched a plan to expand the project at Penguin Con, which was an upcoming science fiction and Linux convention. But because they were moving into the wider community, they decided that they needed a control measure. So they made up, they thought, we'll be responsible about this, we won't just go for it. So they decided to make up little badges, and you can see that here. The person in the black is wearing a little badge, and that's a green one that signifies, yes, you may ask if you can touch my boobs. It's not actually, yes, you may have a brogue, it's yes, you may feel free to ask me, basically. And that's there. And there is also one. You can just see it on there, on the top. And there's a red one that says, just don't ask, please. Please don't ask to touch my boobs.
I love about the sign there, it says bits and tits. Down the bottom.
I didn't see that before.
It could be wits and tots. You can't see what's under the black cloth.
I think we can assume
it's makes sense. I'm doing it.
Well, okay. And I believe that this picture is actually Kat, the person who's put up the photos as well. So, but and she looks quite happy with it. Without you. It's all good. So everybody's still having a good time, and that's great. It's not quite evident from the Ferret's original post, and I do actually have printouts of the original post here if anybody would like to read it afterwards, so you can see the whole thing and links to all the things I'm talking about as well. But it's not quite evident from the post, but from looking at the photos, there was actually a lot more female involvement than the post made out. Especially the first few paragraphs sound like, we were men, we were there, we were like zombies reaching out to touch the boobs. But with further clarification since that it's been, that there was a lot more female involvement and active participation as well.
As groupers, as well as groupies?
The previous photo, there was actually two women, and a lot of these photos are feature mostly women as the touchers as well as the touchees. So, and it was also clarified later, but by then it was kind of sounding like backpedaling, that it was actually a woman who started the project as well. And I did have a photo of her, but I don't have it here. I decided that.
Also, you were
about
to touch the men involved too.
Oh, yes. Well, men also wore the badges, and, you know, if you wanted to touch their breasts, that was. Or if you wanted to ask.
Are you
allowed
to touch their bottom, their asses?
There was discussion about that as well.
There was a lot more rules on women. I don't know, for some reason they decided that, you know, boobs, but for the men it was like, can't touch the penises, you can't touch this, you can't touch that, but you can touch this. And it was like, there was a lot more discussion about the rules.
Yeah.
And apparently there were more rules about the guys than there were about. Yeah.
Yeah, so there was further discussion about that, but the whole thing was really framed in terms of the boobs are the win, so we want to touch the boobs. Okay, so now, and this is where the story gets interesting for me. A few days after the con, the Ferret put up an account of everything that happened on his LiveJournal blog. And then the general reaction was worldwide outrage.
I said, that was a strategic error.
that was the interesting part was also the error, that's right.
But little friends laughing, we've all gone.
exactly right. I think we've all learned something.
Yeah, what happens at gone stays at gone. All remains verbal only. That's
but, yes, I just found it absolutely fascinating that something that was akin to a room party was then taken out for public scrutiny, basically, and made official with the badges, and then, you know, the worldwide critique ensued. And look, there's a picture of the red and green badges together. We're still having a good time.
Yes, right. I'm just concerned about the look on that guy's face in the
background. The zombie.
He has been zombified by the magic of the boobs. And this is actually a group of participants, and the man over on the, what side is that, the left side?
Yep.
That's actually the ferret. Who is actively participating in the project as the photo
is being taken. The one with the serious numbers of ribbons down the front.
So, but this photo, for me, really brought it home that this could be SwanCon.
Yes.
These are the
I bet you're a terracotta.
And that was the other thing I thought. Yes, it doesn't look like
she's
looks
on my
quite
friend
small.
List. She's a cat.
The chick on the right.
Yeah, it is.
No, the cat in the middle.
Yes, these are her photos.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, that she was the star of the organisation.
No, she wasn't.
No, she wasn't.
No, no, no.
She's wearing a red badge.
No.
Yeah, but she was involved. She thought it was very positive. Because yeah, she's on my friend list, so it was really interesting this all happened. I mean, we're not close friends. We've just met once when she met back in her
own. Yeah, it was actually a really positive experience for. Like the people who are actively involved, from everything I can tell, and which is why, and I sort of looked at these photos, and it looks even less like a SwanCon and more like something really close, like a TerraCon kind of situation where everybody knows each other and it's all good. And so I think the way that it was portrayed in the blog post made it sound like it was a WorldCon or something, and there were people just randomly asking people, and I'm not sure.
I think his purpose of his blog post was to expand it. When I read it, I just thought what he was saying is, hey, this worked really well, wouldn't it be cool if we could do this at every con?
Yes,
yeah. That was his idea.
I think that's what he may have been thinking
originally.
Yeah, and then later,
wow, let's keep this going, this is awesome.
After he put up the original post, there were many amendments made to the post, and one of them was that this worked really well where we did it, but maybe it wouldn't work so well in a giant public arena. And so I like that we learned something. Well, we'll get to that. So shortly after he put up his post and a report of it made it onto Feministing. I'm not sure if that was actually the first one, but it was one of the very
That's how
ones.
I read about it. Feminist,
which is a widely read American-based feminist blog. And then all of a sudden, the ferret found himself inundated with hundreds and hundreds of comments. And some supported the project and thought it was a great idea and needed to be replicated, but most of the commenters did not. And after only a few days, the ferret locked the comments down, saying in his update to the update, "Because I think that the comments are important, I've left all 1,300 of them in. But for reasons outlined further below, all the current threads have been locked and now comments will go into the trash bar." And if you want to talk, he was really quite open about it actually. He said, "If you want to talk to me, feel free to email me and increase his email address. But while I'm happy to show you the interactions that have been had, I can't keep track of infinite comments per day." So yeah, he locked it down. But he did, which I think was great. Kept it up there so that people could see what it was all about. But that didn't actually stop the discussion, because Web 2.0 being what it is, people had already started to talk about it on their own blogs. One of my favourite responses was the proposal for the open source Swift Kick to the Balls program, which was put up by a LiveJournal user called
How many men wearing green badges?
There were actually photos of men wearing green badges. There was actually a provision for that in the open source Swift Kicks and Balls program that says that even though you may say no, we may not respect that. And so, but feel free to say it.
Aren't they just totally missing the point?
So, Originally when I heard about this project, I thought, I just used it as a throwaway one line expression of, I really don't like what you're doing. But it actually turned out to be a really insightful satirical representation of sexual harassment and rape culture that is genuinely experienced by many women in our time. So I'll read a bit of that. A modest proposal. As we all know, many women long to give a swift kick in the balls to some male person or other. Yet all too often, women are prohibited from doing so. Sometimes this is due to our culture's repressive attitudes towards female violence or because of societal pressure for women to behave in ladylike, inverted commas, and feminine ways. At times, women must censor themselves from administering a good solid boot to the greater masculine crotch due to historically justified fear of reprisal. At yet other times, it is nothing more or less than men's self-serving, self-glorifying attitudes towards their precious little patriarchal testicles that lead them to cravenly avoid supporting women's emotional and political expression. All in all, we live in a culture that routinely prohibits women this useful and healthy outlet for the outrage that almost every woman eventually feels as a result of living in a sexist patriarchal society. Indeed, we live in a culture that punishes women for even thinking or talking about expressing their rage in this way. This must change, and men who, after all, have an obligation to help redress thousands of years of unlearned patriarchal privilege, also have a moral obligation to help solve this problem. To this end, we propose a community-based, open-source, swift kick to the balls project. And that was also followed up by several fantastic comments. Another great one that followed on from the Swift Kick to the Balls project was one a little bit more serious, which is called the Open Source Back Each Other Up project, which I'm glad to say is really quite taken off and has been really useful. And this is by a LiveJournal user called Vito Excalibur. And I'll read you a bit of. This is not a joke, this is not satire, this is not a test. While the open source Swift Kick to the Balls program is easy and fun to read and write about, I'm not really going to go around asking anyone if I can kick them in the crotch. But I'm sure she's not actually prohibiting it. There is a difference between the internet and the real world. That is an internet solution to a real world problem. I would like to propose a little real world help for a real world problem. If you're tech savvy enough to know about the benefits of open source, then you also know how crucial it is to back your shit up frequently. If you don't back it up, you know, you're going to lose it. I would like to start the Open Source Women Back Each Other Up program, and here is my pledge. If I see somebody groping you in public and you're not moaning, yes, 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 I will break through your somebody else's problem invisibility field and come over and ask if you're okay. If your situation looks dangerous enough, I can't help it on my own. I will call over friends. Or if it's a situation in which I think the cops will be on your side, I will call the cops. If you're being harassed by a guy, you can say to me, even if you don't know me. I pledge I will distract him so you can get away, or I will tell him that he needs to leave, or whatever I can do to the best of my ability. I pledge that yes, actually, because you are a woman, I will give you the benefit of the doubt. If you tell me that a guy just did something shitty to you, I will not refuse to look at any evidence and tell you that I know him and that he's a great guy and you must have been imagining things. I have great loyalty to my male friends, but I will not allow that to blind me to the fact that none of us are saints and even my best friends can screw up and may need to be called on. I pledge that I will walk you to your car, and if you don't feel safe walking alone at night, and then you can drive me to mine, and it goes on from there.
Pledge to get the bastard if I get my hands on it?
Well, no, I think that was kind of what they were saying. We're not actually going to do that. Although we would all like to participate in the open source Swift Kick to the Balls project.
No, yeah. I'm just going to deck him. I wasn't going to kick him in the box.
I think, to a degree, one of the things about the open source Back Each Other Up project is that it does put into a public arena suggestions on how you can handle situations like that in a way which people are comfortable doing. You know, it's great to say, we'll deck him. But when you're in a situation yourself and they're bigger and they're stronger and you're trying to find a polite way to say, I have to go to the toilet, or, oh, look, I have to go and see Sarah, or something like that, and that's not quite working, you can't quite use the physical force to do anything. And so being publicly aware and finding ways to say, look, dude, that's not cool, And having that backup, knowing that if you said, dude, that's not cool, loud enough that someone might hear you and be able to help, it's just a support system to get the discussion going.
Yeah, and a lot of times people just need to know that they're going to get called on this shit.
Yeah, that's the other thing too, is a lot of guys do stuff. And often, sometimes guys don't actually realise that they're being skeevy. And, you know, that's part of the education. And, you know, it's not like they intend.
And you don't get situation at school.
No. That's exactly right. It's not like they intend to, like, weed you out. It's just sometimes it happens.
But one of the good things about the Open Source Women Back Each Other Up program is that they've started a live journal community, which you can join, and they're actually being really active.
There's flyers and banners and stickers and stuff you can download and print.
Okay. There's just some more photos.
Sorry.
And the no badge again. Okay. And I also had a response of my own, which I'm going to talk about now, which is part of my PhD in cyberfeminism. I'm looking at cyberfeminist artwork, and I'm actually doing this as a practical-based PhD where I'm creating artwork. And the practical component is a web blog called 52 Acts. And until the end of last year, I was doing a weekly cyberfeminist project and putting it up on the blog. And at the moment, I'm still doing a few more, but they're not quite weekly at the moment. I decided to respond to the Open Source Build project through that. And I found a lot to engage with in the original post. The fact that it was oozing with male privilege and entitlement, and the fact that it managed to reduce women to body parts, even though in the first paragraph it said, this is exactly what we don't want to do, and it was not what the author was intending to portray. But the one thing that irked me the most about the Open Source Build project was the unanswered question, how on earth is this open source? This is not open source, people. This is free as in beer, or free as in booze, not free as in speech. So I created the real Open Source Boo project, which was a tutorial on how to make your own boobs, with free instructions. Yes, and so
crochet.
It's crochet. Crochet boobs, and I
actually
have. No, this is an actual boob size boob.
But whose boobs?
Well, you know, mine.
Fickle.
Although they've gotten bigger since then. I'm pregnant. They're fierce. But so this is my boob that I the thing that happened from that was that everybody said, that's a fantastic boob hat. And I said, no, it's not a boob hat, it's just a boob. But the week later, I decided to follow it up with, so this is part of the instructions. And so I did a photo tutorial and instructions on how to crochet your own boob. Freely available under a Creative Commons license. And everybody said, that's a great hat. And I said, no, it's not a hat. So the next week I made the open source booby beret instructions.
That looks so cool.
And this is it here.
Oh, I have pictures of Canada wearing this, incidentally.
That's fantastic.
That's a lot of wood part, that's all that happened. And it's got a red badge.
No, it does not. It does not have a red badge, it has an orange badge which says, make your own. Because this is the real open source boob project. And I actually have some, I made up some orange badges, and I have some here if anybody would like a make your own badge. Because I decided that it wasn't all green or red, you know, it's supposed to be about negotiation and subtlety and that sort of thing. So
it's a very artistic perspective, I think.
Well,
but not that
that's what
surprising
I'm doing,
considering
so.
You're an artist.
That was the whole idea. So there you go. So you pass it around and have a look.
It's a very cool fact.
So yes, that was my response to the, and part of cyberfeminism is also using humour is a really big part of it. So that's why I wanted to respond in that way. And then after that, as I was writing this paper, I actually contacted Zakaria by email to say, hey, I'm writing a paper on your open source Boom project, and how do you feel knowing that it's been almost a full year, because this was around Easter last year, and that people are still talking about it. How great is that?
All over the world.
Yes, and just wanted to know sort of what impact that's had on him, and I got a response from him, and this is his response. Hey Sarah, at this point I'm not really talking about the project, namely because in discussing it I did a huge disservice to the people involved by presenting a badly written version of what happened and making myself the only public face of it. I dragged them all out to experience a lot of hatred and upset, which I feel bad about. So rather than involve them more, I don't talk about it. Suffice to say that A, I wrote it extremely poorly, and B, it caused me months of severe and often suicidal depression, and C, despite all that, I'm glad it raised concerns about some issues in the con world that needed dealing with. Much like RaceFail09, it's a painful discussion across the blogosphere that engendered some excellent discussions about privilege, safety, sexuality, honesty, and sexuality. Honestly, I have much preferred not to be at the centre of the bonfire, but nevertheless, a lot of good things arose from it. That at least is more than most awfully written posts of mine have created. Fine, the very.
So that's very gracious.
I thought so. I really thought so, and I actually felt really quite touched when I read that, and I went, oh yeah, that's a huge response, and was not quite what I was expecting. I thought he might just not answer or say, go away, or, hey, it's been a year and you're still talking about it, that's great. But
to an extent though, it always sounds like I'm blaming the blogosphere for severe and suicidal depression. And I have a lot of disrespect for my company and that.
When you have all of Feministing, which has thousands, hundreds of thousands of readers coming to your blog and saying, you're an asshole, how could you do this? You just objectified all
these
people.
It's like people who are not science fiction fans who don't know what a convention is like, suddenly going, you're just legitimising rape, you absolute bastard. Yeah.
And also he is
depressive beforehand.
I've been reading it for a while, and he does have depressive tendencies.
I think that whether that was actually a cause of his depression, I don't know about that, but I do think that it would be very upsetting.
It triggered an episode of depression.
Also, I think there's a big difference between saying, if you say to him, how do you feel about it? He said, I felt suicidal depressed. If he, I'm apologising, in the apology was saying, that is not acceptable.
I'm so sorry you made me suicidal.
That's not acceptable, but if someone says, how do you feel about it?
And that is, to be fair, what I asked. I said, how's it going? and so I was really quite surprised by the response, and it was a much stronger reaction than what I was expecting. But it did confirm for me what I was thinking, and the reason that I was interested in this whole thing in the first place was not so much about the boobs, but in the reaction was amazing, and just the idea that blogs and journals, and I mean the internet, but blogs and journals in particular, are a really tricky space living on the borderlands between private and public space, because they, especially like live journal, feels like, and reading most people's journals, it's just like a kind of a daily account and that sort of thing, and it feels like a personal diary, like a personal space, but then all of a sudden something happens and you realise, no wait, everyone can see this, and as they said earlier, a simple friends log may have solved that, but I think that he genuinely thought this was a really great thing and wanted to share it with the wider world, so... And I also have to agree with the ferret that a lot of really good things did come out of this, even though, the original source may not have been quite so positive. But, for example, the many discussions that have come out about it, the fact that I'm doing this paper now, the fact that we had these safe spaces in SwanCon panel, which was not... entirely about the Open Source Boom Project, but it was certainly was an instigator in that, and I'm sure that that's been for many, many other people as well. And even the fact that yesterday, WhatsApp voted to have put together a committee to have a set of core values developed to look at how we run comms as well. And while, again, not exactly just because of that, but I'm sure that it did have some kind of effect in pushing that forward and bringing that to the surface. And again, the Open Source Back Each Other Up project has got a lot of involvement now and people thinking about these sorts of things. And I really hope that that's a lasting legacy from the project, more so than the badges. My personal favourite outcome was the fact that I found out a group of charity crafters had actually found my tutorial, not the hat one, the one before that. And they're actually using that as a base to create woolen prosthesis for women who have had mastectomies. And so they're actually using it as an open source boob. And I was so incredibly amazed and proud to know that they had done that and just couldn't believe it. And so I had never talked to them about that. And now I'm making them a better, more realistic tutorial to use. And that's it. So I think that it was something not so great to start with. Well, actually, it was something that was probably great for all the people involved, but then
examined. The boobs were harmed in the making of this plot.
Well, I don't know.
And the women there, were, I don't know, from what I gathered, the women were okay with it. And if they weren't okay with it, then they could wear the red badge. So at the end of the day,
we'll get on to that. You don't wear a badge at birth, and people respected it.
Yeah, that's fair.
That would be nice, because apparently just being born female doesn't give you that.
Being born female gives you an automatic green badge.
It's the opt-in, opt-out problem that causes that. I'd appreciate that.
That's why I so appreciated the open source Balls project place. It was a really good
Clearly articulated what a lot of people weren't quite sure how to say. It really grew out parallel. You could look at it and go, oh, that's why I'm uncomfortable. Reading the comments on the first blog also can really clarify your feelings on that too.
Okay, well, I'm going to open up to general discussion now.
Two things about it that I found really interesting. First, reading through, I read through a large chunk of the parents' blog, and I also had a cat on my phone, which is interesting, and other discussions of it. And there was discussions about, it could be dangerous, it could go horribly wrong, were there problems at the time? And all people involved said, no, it's fine. But eventually this woman who was involved with it said that it didn't go as horribly wrong as it could have, which is, I mean, the dangerous thing would be someone wearing a red badge and people going, well, you know, blah, or pressuring people to put on a green badge, or to make a choice. Like, when I go to a con, I don't want to think, are people going to touch my boobs? That's not... I don't think the question should come up, you know?
Do
you want to join my orgy? Stop asking me! I want to talk about science fiction. But apparently there was, someone was sold a green badge, but encouraged to wear a green badge and didn't really understand what they were getting into, and I felt a bit weird about it. It wasn't this straightforward, it was a horrible experience thing, but she felt that even in that small, confined space, it got a bit out of hand, the people giving out the badges, women explaining what the badges meant properly, and it got a bit peer pressure in. Even already, it was going a bit wrong at the time, which I think is a sign of how, if it's a big problem, it was, especially if men are giving out badges, that's the wrong place. But also, a point someone made, which I think was really interesting, in the Ferret Fly Journal, someone said, what about if you changed it and men wore green badges? The green badge says, I am interested in touching your boobs.
Yeah.
And the red badge says, I'm not interested in touching your boobs. And then women come up to you and say, I see that you're interested in touching boobs, sir. Would you like to touch your boobs?
That would be much more interesting.
And the ferret, I'm pretty sure it was the ferret who said, but then the men would be more passive. And the answer is yes.
I see your point, my dear.
Yes, and it's that really, because we're already in a situation where the assumption is all men are interested in touching all women, and women are sort of the gatekeepers, and it's not all men are interested. You know, I'd like to, my husband, given the option, would say no.
The really funny thing about that is, of course, if you've got that on the ladies, and then lesbian ladies.
Exactly! I think a lot of people would appreciate this, that I am interested in touching your boobs, given the option.
I've met women wearing those badges, and probably more than the men, because they're less embarrassed about it.
And it's
but it's really an unusual experience if you're not used to that from another woman.
And I thought about it a lot at the time. Now that you've gone over it,
a different response a year later. I suppose it is because in the intervening period, I've been using my breast not, as he says, everyone wants to touch them. The only person who's really been touching them a lot has been using them for the actual intended purpose. So I would go back even beyond the who gets to touch and go, what is the purpose of breasts? Could it actually not be, in fact, to gratify others in a titillating way, but in fact to dehumanize? Maybe that might actually be his first assumption, is the whole purpose of the breast. Got that wrong, sorry. Or at least ignored a large part of the actual purpose of why people have breasts.
It's not going to be part of his relationship with them now that he's over five.
Unless he has a wife who has a child.
Which he does.
Well, he people do have children.
But he's still, that's going to be...
Well, he has to get used to the idea.
It's just a concept that they might have another purpose. Right?
But that is like part of the entire problem, not with the project or with the ferret, but with society. I mean, we do primarily, until we are actually a baby or breastfeeding, do see them as
I've got to say, I didn't think of it in those terms a year ago. And since then, I've been like, these are a tool. They're like my hands. They have a purpose.
I certainly do.
It's funny how the context does change dramatically. Because, you know, when I see a woman breastfeeding, I go, oh my God, dude, it's awesome.
It's interesting how some people get quite uncomfortable.
Presumably they're the people who are.
Well, people get really uncomfortable about breastfeeding because they go, the baby's having sex, some kind of sexual act with its mother, and it's...
Well, no, it's more that until recently I had not seen anyone do it because it wasn't, for a long time it wasn't acceptable.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't acceptable to do that sort of thing in public when I was young. It just was not done, you know. But now it is more acceptable, which is good. And a lot more of my friends are having kids now. The first time I saw someone do it was like, what am I supposed to do? I'm not feeling comfortable watching, but the baby's so cute!
Sarah?
Focus
on the baby.
It's interesting to me there's a difference between saw and noticed. You probably saw many women breastfeeding but you didn't know it.
Fair enough, I noticed the thing in my face.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here. I didn't really notice anyone doing anything like that until close friends having children, and then I spent a lot of time watching him breastfeed in the aim of hoping to be able to breastfeed my own.
Trying to learn how to do it.
Yeah. Because we don't talk about it.
You don't get a manual how to breastfeed when you're born.
And it's different for every baby, and it's bloody hard work.
Sandra? Just to finish up the whole breastfeeding thing, for me that was a really huge thing. I mean, I was very much about the breasts, beautiful and sexual and all that sort of thing. And it was a really powerful repurposing of them when I did start breastfeeding. And I did a lot of counselling and work because I wasn't sure I was going to be able to. It was a really huge deal, which is probably why I would never participate in something like the Open Source Food Project myself. But it was like a really huge deal. So I had all this counselling and stuff. And then when I finally did it, it was like, oh my goodness, this feels like what it's supposed to be, and what was the huge deal, and all of that sort of stuff. But on top of that, like it was a really huge healing process for me about my own body as well, and that my body, the repurposing of it. It was actually for something for me and for my child, and
attached to your body because apparently for someone
else. For somebody, exactly. That's right.
We do get that feeling sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Definitely was. Yes, it was a display item, I think.
Most of me belongs to me, except if it's other people think belong to them. And feel free to come up, touch, talk to, ogle, and just generally relate to, separate to the rest of me.
Yeah, because even if they're not, you know, like I wasn't expecting everybody to be touching them all the time, but certainly the looking and like as a display object was definitely part of my thinking.
No, go on.
I was good because I was just going to change it. So
yep.
But when this came out and I wrote a pretty long response and I was a mess down on it than a lot of people. And partly for some of the reasons we were in, was just like, oh, if you're outside science fiction con culture, you're going to go, oh my god, you're just not going to have the context to understand in which people would ever think this was an okay idea at all. You're not going to get that, oh, it was just a room party. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's certainly, I was a good idea. I was going, I can just see how this is a room party that got out of hand because this guy's an idiot. But there's a lot of, there's a lot of people who are idiots. I don't think he deserves to be kicked by all the feminists in the world just for being, his post made it so much worse. You know, it seemed pretty obvious that it was, you could see that it was much more female. Mm.
When he wrote it, it just sounds like we, a group of bearded patriarchs, got together.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. When you look at the photo, you're like,
most of his friends are female, and it was, and you could sort of see you could see there's links like the larger of his female friends were going, oh, for God's sake, sort of thing. You could see there was not as, for me it seemed clear, it was not as clear cut, but it was an idiot. I mean, that's pretty clear, and he understands that he's an idiot, and certainly his post, the way he wrote it, oozes of the, male privilege. He always, like, he set out to make it as
clear. It's also the problem of that he's trying to, write it in a writerly way, like, create a story out of it, rather than saying, hey, this is what happened, and he's embellishing it.
Yeah. I mean, I think the one really big mistake they made was the bit about, the bit about giving out the red buttons. No, you should just imagine that every woman in the world who isn't wearing a green button is wearing a big red button that says, no, this isn't okay.
If you want to ask you what's the green button, you explain to me, oh, can I have one?
Yeah.
Then I think the reasoning behind that, because the green buttons was I think they came up with the green buttons first, but decided that people were being asked, do you want a button too often? And so the red button was a way to say, yes, I know about the project, and that's all great, thank you very much. But
I didn't see it as a defence mechanism. I saw it as a humour, I'm in on the joke and I'm happy.
Yeah.
I didn't see it as a defence mechanism like what you were describing.
Well,
the urge to evangelise it was obviously a very, very big error on their part.
That's what you do when you have a positive experience. Yeah. You share it with your child.
But the thing that got, the other thing about it that, I think goes to about the different reactions goes to the heart idea of a safe space, which is the same thing I brought up in the safe space panel, which is that there's safe from sort of being offended and there's safe from being attacked, sort of thing. And we talked a bit about that, about perhaps we need really for sort of some of the guys at cons, they need kind of a remedial guide to sexual consent, and this is almost part of it. It's like this is making it. The fact that there's a very explicit idea of consent at the heart of it is good. Of course, they got it kind of wrong, and that's bad. But it's much better than not.
But the idea of a safe space, from safe from being offended, and safe from being attacked. I mean, it's a very fine line.
Because, it's a very
being asked repeatedly, "Can I touch your boobs?"
Could be quite attacked.
It's not just offensive. But it's not safe.
I agree with that, John. And feel free to ask me. Did many people go, "Okay, you," but sorry, not you.
Yes.
You. In fact, everyone in the room except you. I mean, do you feel that they could say that? Because a lot of the comments were like, a lot of the comments
that was implied
who chose who they asked to touch. What if there was some woman who said yes, but then didn't get asked ever?
How would she feel about herself?
Exactly.
Actually, that's something that I didn't really touch on. Part of the post that a lot of people really objected to was that it kind of, as it went on, it said that, and then later on in the evening, women would come up to me and say, are my breasts worthy of being touched? Yeah. Are they worthy? God. And that's just where everyone went, no. And so that it became less about being not shy about bodies and more about sort of this validation. Are my breasts good enough to be touched by you?
Sadly, this sounds an awful lot like a conversation I had when I was 16 with a group of women who were in my mother's age group who wanted to talk to me about consent. They were basically giving me background tools for coping with difficult situations. And it was really interesting for me because my peer group had treated me with respect and I didn't have any questions of consent. They talked about what it was like being young women in the 70s, and they talked about peer pressure and free sex and the obligation to demonstrate that you weren't frigid by fucking anyone in the world, and a whole bunch of different issues that had never even occurred to me.
Yeah.
And they laid out a whole bunch of things, and this actually sounds like a lot of the same issues.
Mm-hmm.
Being worthy, being in the peer pressure aspect, proving that you were comfortable, basically saying, I'm not neurotic, you can touch my boobs. And this whole kind of interesting sort of things that came up, and I really respect the fact that the women sat me down and talked to me about those things at a time, and it was really useful to have that information, even though at the time I was appalled.
A couple of my friends who was involved with this, she's in her 50s and she was saying,
yeah, and that's what they talked about. That's how they talked about it. They said,
the choices are, yes, you're part of the establishment, you're boring and frigid and have sex, or you will have sex with me.
Yes.
That's what I meant. I don't think if you had a green badge on that you could actually say, sorry, not you.
Yeah.
That would be unbelievably...
Because it's personal.
Yeah, like a huge risk.
You'd
have to say yes to everyone, or you have to say no to everyone.
But it certainly implied that not everybody got a yes.
And on that respect, the one time I was in a date situation where someone said to me, literally, I said, I don't want you to touch me. And they said, you must have had an abused childhood. My reaction. I had that conversation. Literally, instead of thinking, do I have to take that on? My response was just rage. And then I explained, for quite a long time how I I'd already been given the tools to respond in that situation. So when they said, you must have had an abused childhood, I would like to help you fix that problem. I could say, don't fucking touch me, I don't like you. And then I could explain exactly what was going on. I don't think it necessarily helped his life, but oh my god, I felt so fucked.
I think the appropriate response is you must have your head up your ass.
I have no idea, but it was very good to be in a position where you could say what you thought well, and you could respond instantly to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was partly because I'd been given the preparatory tools
yes,
by women.
Yes, it's about being prepared. That's why I really like the whole idea of the Open Source Back Each Other Up program as well, because it's thinking about it before
saying
it happens.
What to say, how to behave,
and then having those tools.
I just, something that I found really interesting, thinking about this and being engaged and married around the same time, is wedding rings act the same way. To a certain extent, I found... You can say, I'm engaged, I'm married. Yeah.
It's another excuse in your arsenal.
And it's interesting that there are certain creepy guys where that's kind of the thing.
You're a little red bag.
See, that's interesting because I don't wear mine, ever.
Yeah.
Because I can't. It won't fit on my hat anymore. And I've had it resized 3 times and I give up. Because every time I get it resized, my hands get bigger.
The camera had about 4, we lost them and kept going down to 6.
Because she's a band-aid.
If anyone gives me any trouble, I tell them. They believe me.
But it just is interesting that it acts like an explicit red badge.
What I'm saying is, if you're not engaged or married, you could probably say you were. You will respect that.
I've done that before.
I'm looking forward to a visual.
I know,
you
know that
time.
Yeah.
Okay, could wear a burqa.
Yes,
no, you
could.
Sarah. Sarah.
If you want to do.
It's
all right.
It's interesting to maybe examine where that comes from. Because I have a boyfriend, it doesn't work.
No,
it's only for engaged or married, which implies that
I have
another man owns me. That's exactly right.
I
have
a
boyfriend.
I think if they say I'm actually already open, it has to be no, I'm exclusive because it's one man. So it has to be engaged.
Someone will hit you if you try to touch me. And it won't be me. It will be my personal SWAT team of one.
Sometimes it was just a SWAT team of
one. I have brothers. It works the same way.
It does.
But they're not as nasty as I am.
And really, did you? Oh, I was just thinking in following on from Sophie's comment about how they actually gave the female participants in the ABC's Race Around the World wedding rings and fake wedding photos for taking with them to certain countries, so that if they found themselves in a difficult situation in Africa or South America, they could actually get out their fake wedding photo and they'd already be wearing their fake wedding ring.
I put my rings on my wedding finger
and
I go back.
Yeah, I do that too.
Wow,
it means you don't have to renegotiate those things, because otherwise you'll meet people and they'll consider whether or not to meet them.
It's like every taxi ride, it's so much easier if you can say, no,
really?
I just
wanted to bring back to the comment that you said that it was implied that you could say yes or no on a per-person basis.
Yes.
But the way that most of our social situations work is not really as simple as that, and most people tend to feel pressured into... it's like, oh, well, I don't know if I can make that decision. I don't want to make someone feel bad or whatever. And as a result, although it might be implied, and it may even be explicitly stated, very rarely actually works that way.
Now, an interesting thing about that, though, is that in the comments of the original Ferret's post, is a lot of the women that were actually involved got on and said, because a lot of people were saying exactly that, and they said, how dare you challenge my autonomy and my experience and suggest that I have no power to say no.
Yeah.
That's what they, whereas, I mean, I would be thinking exactly what you said.
A good example is, for example, the way that, you know, guys hate pink and guys like violence and all that sort of stuff. And it's really easy to forget that guys aren't normally like that. That's been ingrained through our society. We've been programmed that way. And we too easily forget that. And we want to feel that that's how we really feel about it, but that's not really the case. We're actually programmed that way. And that would be the same thing with, you know, the situations that make people think they've got a choice. They don't really, and they like to think so, but it's not always the case.
Well, also you can say the situation can very easily make a woman feel pressured without saying you were pressured. Like, they made, and they sort of felt that saying that it was dangerous meant that they personally were hurt by it.
Okay, I think we've run out of time. Is there another question?
It's very easy to say, oh, in South America, oh, in Africa. But my experience is I don't take taxis unless I absolutely have to. It's not the South American thing, it's not the African thing. I'll rather take two trains and a bus with full luggage than take taxis.
No, and we do certainly. We do certainly have that thing where we say, oh, you know, you need to be married to not be hassled in South America or Africa or wherever. But as your experience, you were just saying, you know, it is alive and well here, and we just, most of us don't notice it until it happens, until we're wearing the wedding ring and go, hey, all this stuff that was.
It's worth launching as a whole new discussion topic.
I think so.
Several years worth. Actually.
Well,
it's something I'd like to continue to talk about a lot.
Yep. Well, lunch is coming up soon, so I'll have a quick talk. Thank you.